Yo, this is Rob Harvilla from 60 Songs That Explain the 90s, the world's greatest loopy and perverse and inaccurately named music nostalgia podcast. We're doing 90 songs now because there's too many songs. Pearl Jam, Jay-Z, Jewel, U2, Cher, Hootie. These are just some of the names people yell at me on the internet because we're back. More great songs, more rad special guests, more loopy perversity. Join us once more on 60 Songs That Explain the 90s every Wednesday on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Psst. Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Hello and welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer, and today we're checking in with some streaming recommendations. It's the finale of January, and we're also taking a look at what went wrong with Madonna's Boot Camp.
Wow. Okay, let's do it. We're recording a bit later than we usually do, so I feel like all of us have maybe a bit more energy than our normal recording time. Let's dive in. Tea Time is checking in with streaming recommendations for the month of January, and then an update from Sundance Film Festival, because somehow I went to that.
Well, yeah, Liz put that in there, and I was like, you can't stream those.
You can eventually.
Eventually. Kate? That's true.
It's down an early streaming recommendations. All right, go ahead,
yeah.
Kate.
Oscar nominations were this week. We were going to talk about it, and then we're like, there's not much here that's Tea Time core. However, Paul Mescal, our guy from Normal People, did get an Oscar nomination. We talked about him last week and his breakup with Phoebe Bridgers. And what a rebound to be nominated for your first leading role in a movie for After Sun. I watched it yesterday.
Wow.
I was going to recommend
it,
be like, should I watch it? And then I watched it yesterday. Mm. It was really good. It was sad as hell, which I knew it was.
Oh, no.
And my thing is, like, I have a friend who was like, I don't get the Paul Mescal thing. And I'm like, listen, if you're like seeing pictures of him on Twitter and his like mullet that he has right now for his play, like I get it. I get not getting it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you kind of have to watch Normal People or
you
like
do.
Something that he's done to get it. And then I'm like, I feel bad recommending that to people because I'm like, it's depressing as shit. And my, what I want to say is like,
God.
Paul Mescal, do a rom-com. Like,
yes.
We need, because like his appeal is like very, like limited to this, not limited to the screen. He's a charming guy. He's good looking. But I think if you get it and you have to watch what he's in to get it. And I just feel bad being like, here are the two things that you should watch and they will make you feel bad and cry.
Right. Does he do like bits on the red carpet? Do we know? Does he have a, I haven't watched a lot of interviews. So I haven't
seen a bunch of them.
Is he the rom-com, you know, X Factor?
I think he's got it. We'll see. Mm. We'll see. I would like to find out basically is my plea.
Okay.
So I guess my streaming recommendation is After Sun, which you can rent on Amazon Prime. That's what I did.
I have a question. Have you seen The Florida Project?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is it sadder than that movie or is it less sad? That's kind of my gauge of like...
Different kind of sad. I would say sadder, actually.
What?
Sadder? Like The Florida Amelia Project? Is that the one with the little girl in the pink hotel?
See,
in that
the hotel.
One had some like cute moments.
Amelia and
so
I were rocked by that movie. Absolutely rocked.
Truly. I think about that movie like at least once
maybe it's
a
not.
Week.
This one's bleaker, I would say.
Oh, God.
You didn't think that The Florida Project was
good? Had some like moments of like, I was like, oh, this is cute. Like, she's so cute. And like,
I guess,
you know, it had some like.
Oh, God.
I guess it's up to interpretation.
Okay.
Got it.
But this is what I'm saying. Make a happy movie, Paul. And also, this is a plea to Pedro Pascal, who I am just bare knuckling my way through The Last of Us 4. I am watching it. I am scared. I am fast forwarding through a lot. I'm watching it in the mornings. I'm not watching it when it airs in the evenings because I know myself and I had a nightmare about the show before it even aired.
Oh no.
Wait, what's it about? What's it about?
It's zombies. It's the apocalypse and there are zombies. They're like mushroom fungus zombies.
It's like based on a role-playing game.
It's based on a scary video game. Okay. And like, luckily it's the kind, like it's not gory. It's not particularly gory. Like you can kind of tell
sad,
when it's
right?
coming. It is really, it's also very bleak. Oh, listen, God. This is what I'm saying is I need.
You love I really need, sad stuff. These,
no, I love the men that are in them and okay. I need them to star in rom-coms instead is my plea to these men. So yeah, Pedro Pascal, do a fucking rom-com. Okay. I can't even like, well, people are like, you know, doing these like Oberyn Martell edits on Twitter from Game of Thrones. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, yeah, he was fun in that, but we all fucking know how that ended for him. So can we just get these men in something where nobody dies, they don't die, they're happy and fulfilled. And that's my plea. Okay, final streaming recommendation. This is not a recommendation. However, the Teen Wolf movie premiered on Paramount Plus last week, this weekend. And I used to watch Teen Wolf. I did not finish it. I watched it in my youth. But I've seen a lot of tweets and people are pissed about the plot of this movie. And I'm not recommending that you watch it, but if you used to watch the show, I recommend that you look up the plot of the movie because people have tweeted it out. At Cole the Wolf tweeted it out, said, attention for anybody that doesn't want to watch Teen Wolf, the movie, here's what happens. You wish that I was kidding, but I'm not.
Oh.
And I don't want to spoil it, but like the first thing on this is like the main character, Teen Wolf himself, former Teen Wolf, now adult wolf, is working as a rescue dog, saving victims from building collapses in Los Angeles.
No.
So that's how it starts. And I won't spoil the rest, but I do recommend reading that. If you had any interest, if you ever watched the show, I do recommend reading the plot on Twitter. It's everywhere.
So you're saying this has become like Paw Patrol?
Yes. Like adult wolf Paw Patrol, I think.
Another
is
Paramount Plus classic.
Yeah. Another one. Listen, straight bangers from Paramount Plus, as always.
You're right.
So those are my, I guess, not really recommendations, but just things I wanted to talk about in the streaming world. Man.
Thank you for that, Kate.
Cool.
Amelia?
I guess I don't know how to follow this up, but a non-streaming recommendation, spoiler alert for people who are into Law and Order SVU and you don't want to be spoiled.
My mom? Stop listening, Mom.
Stop listening. Fast forward
a
little bit.
15 second. Catherine Hallowell. Skip forward. Okay. Proceed.
Because last night, after 24 years of will they, won't they, between Detective Olivia Benson and Elliot Stabler, they were about to kiss. And they teased it for 2 weeks. They teased this moment where they like embrace. They didn't like even embrace. It was like, I don't watch the show anymore, but I saw from a Twitter account, they posted the whole scene. It was her just being like, I want to, but I can't. And then they don't do anything.
Wow.
People were so upset.
It's
people
been so
like,
long.
Last two weeks married on the show. They're in like every scene that I see.
No,
online.
I know. They're not.
It's just
a
slow burn.
It's the slowest of burns. Oh my God.
Just a smolder.
I decided a while ago that I'm anti will they, won't they plots in TV shows.
I like that.
I actually despise it.
I love that shit. I love it.
I like your
give me
ready
four seasons of intense eye contact.
I don't have patience for it. The days are short. My life is going by too quickly. I don't have time.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So everyone's upset. Everyone's rightfully upset. And I guess there was supposed to be more to the scene because they had teased them getting together really close and they cut that. So I don't know what
Maybe
Dick
next
Wolf
week?
And
oh, like cut it
is doing.
Wow. Dick Wolf.
Yeah.
I wow. never trusted that man.
I know. You can't trust a name like that. Okay. Yes. Also, I also said wanted to say one thing and then I erased it, but you know, I'll just add it back in just
Do
really
it.
Easily. But
please.
There is a new hot wiggle. You know the Wiggles? From Australia, and they like dance and sing. Well, there's like a hot one now, and all the moms are like, hell yeah, finally. It's taken 20 years.
The Wiggles are still going on?
They're still going on. Oh my God. And they have just now landed a hot one. His name is Purple Wiggle, aka John Pierce, and he's beautiful. I guess he has like tattoos.
How
but,
did
like,
you find
don't
out
see
about
the
this, Amelia?
It was actually on Instagram because the fourth hour of the Today Show, Hoda and Jenna. They always bring, you know, the heat. And they were talking about the hot wiggle and they were calling him the hot wiggle.
Incredible.
So,
right.
Yeah.
That's crucial news. Thank you.
Hey, anytime. And then lastly, the Daisy, well, not the Daisy, Daisy Jones and the Six trailer dropped with Riley Keough and some other faves. Camila Maroney's in it. And is Sookie Waterhouse, seems like it. But it seems like a real Riley vehicle, and I'm happy for her. But it kind of screams, what's that Kate Hudson movie? The
Almost Famous.
Yes, it screams that to me. And I'm just like, okay, I've seen that movie, and I really like it. But like, I don't know if I need
Big shoes to fill. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. We will see. People seem really excited about it. And
okay, good.
I watched the trailer and it made me want to cut my bangs shorter. So
that's tough. God, bring back
your
bangs.
We'll see if I make it through. We'll see if I make it through the whole show without making that mistake again.
Oh my God. I loved your bangs personally.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, this is an early streaming recommendations because I went to Sundance last week. I was out. I had no business of being there. First of all, I was just with Craig, who had business being there. But anyway, I bought a couple tickets and watched a couple movies. And I'm here to give you a brief update on the three that I watched. So the first one, Amelia, this one's for you. I feel like if I'm going to get someone to watch this movie, it'll be you. It's called Deep Rising. It's a documentary narrated by Jason Momoa about deep sea mining on our ocean
floor. You're passionate about this.
I actually am. And it is all about the deep sea. And but then it's kind of like pros and, you know, there's actually a lot of cons about like what we're doing. We're basically kind of ruining our ocean floor. Anyway, Jason Momoa's voice sometimes is so deep, I couldn't quite understand what he was saying. But I'm not sure that he was the perfect
narrator. That's a selling point, actually.
he obviously is like, you know, very environmentally conscious. And so his platform is great for the movie and its message. Anyway, so watch that.
Love it.
And then I watched Theater Camp, which is a comedy, and that is sold and it'll be in theaters. So you can watch that. And then the last one I saw was Cat Person, which was the scariest movie I have seen in so long.
The scariest movie?
Yes. Did you guys read the article from The New Yorker back in 2017?
Yes. It's been a really long time.
It went super viral.
Yes. That held me hostage for several months. Like I read that and was like obsessed with it at my old job with my coworkers. Anyway,
first of all, you worked here when that came out, right?
Holy shit, I did. I guess I was in a group chat with my old coworkers at ABC.
I definitely was at The Ringer then.
I've been at The Ringer way too long. Okay. So the movie or the article ends with like still 50 minutes left of the movie and then they take it and do something different with it. So it's really, really, really scary. And Nicholas Braun is creepy as hell.
Nicholas Braun. Oh, that's fantastic, actually.
Yes. Yeah, that's scary.
It is. And he has like, incel vibes in this. And he is just like Cousin Greg, but if he was just 1,000 times weirder and creepier. And then it's Amelia Jones, who's in Coda. I don't know if you guys watch that, but she's great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Huge highlight. Nicholas Braun, very creepy.
Wait, Liz, follow-up question. Who is the most famous person that you saw at Sundance?
You know what? I think the public, and I don't mean to name drop him twice, but Jason Momoa, people were on the streets being like, I saw Jason Momoa. He came into Patagonia. Like, I think he is people.
That's so funny.
I didn't hear, like the streets were buzzing about Jason Momoa, and they were really famous other people there.
Wow.
And cared about.
Fan favorite, Jason. Love that.
I know. So I'm going to go with him because that was the one, like, I literally heard conversations on the street about. So,
oh my God.
That's what he deserves.
Yeah.
Truly.
Okay, let's go to the next category. This is Not Worth the Tea, This Week in Social Media, and some relationship news. Kate.
Right off the bat, relationship news that may or may not be real. They might be messing with us. You can never tell with Eric Andre. And Eric Andre is on vacation with Emily Ratajkowski. They are supposedly friends with benefits and or having fun, depending on which headline you read. They're in Grand Cayman. They are hanging out in lounge chairs and smooching and holding hands and walking around.
They are smooching.
It's a big win for the funny guys. You know, she's kind of on a roll with that. She had Pete Davidson. She has Eric Andre now. I guess they're more now. Right. Maybe real, it may not. But, you know, they seem like a fun couple, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I'm like sick of her in headlines in page 6.
Well, yes. It's
always
that.
It gets headlines, so I guess that's good for her.
That's true. Yeah.
Fine. It does. It's fine. A lot of like inside sources like relaying their conversations from dinner. I'm like, is this fanfic? Oh. Is this real? Some person next to them? I don't understand. Funny. Apparently that's something that's happening. So.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Next one, Amelia.
Sorry. Paris Hilton welcomed a baby boy via surrogate recently with her husband, Carter Room. Yeah. So congrats to her.
It's funny to me.
This is a surprise, right?
Yes. And it's funny to me that, like, remember she was like teasing and teasing and teasing the thing with Miley Cyrus and like big things coming and like all these teasings.
That is so embarrassing.
And then it's just like, and oh, by the way, I had a baby like a week later. You know, it's like, cool.
Also, she Instagrammed kind of, Amelia, I don't know if this reminds you of this image, but of the Kylie Stormy announcement that was like the most liked, you know, Instagram, whatever. It's just basically the baby's hand and her hand. And this baby's hand is the most well-manicured thing.
It looks fake.
The cuticles are literally groomed within an inch of its life. Obviously, there's some Photoshop. I'm very happy. Yes. But just the baby's hand looks like,
like a little. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
If you could, like, face-tune a hand, they, like, somehow face-tuned a hand.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
I don't know
God.
What filter's gone on, but.
We don't know. Oh, and did you see that Kylie had, or has the name now, Air? Isn't it Air? Airy?
Yes,
Air?
It is. It's Air. I can't believe this didn't make it to the outline. Air, like, A-I-R-E.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. So I'm kind of waiting for some drama to happen. I'm like, why are you announcing that then? But,
Who knows?
She took too long. I feel like now we were interested
really
in it.
I know. I was like, which baby? What?
Yeah.
Can't keep track.
The other thing going on social media that was big, maybe not this week, maybe over the weekend, is the two, in my opinion, stars of the most recent season of White Lotus are the new face of Valentine's Day Skims drop. It's Simona Tabasco and Bea Grano, the two best friends in season two that, like, just captured everybody and everyone loves them, including myself. And they, just the two of them are the face of Valentine's Day Skims. And they had, like, a big spread.
Love that.
Kim, I guess, loved the show and picked them out. Honestly, very smart of her. But yeah, great news for them. I'm happy to see them again.
Yeah, this was big on Twitter. And I didn't watch White Lotus. So I was like, who are these girls? But Twitter was excited.
You would have loved them, Kate, because they just manipulated men to their advantage.
I do love that. I do. You know me so well.
I know. Okay, next one, Kate.
This is, I think, some not worth the tea as we wrap it up here. Three more things. First of all, Harry Styles is doing his rescheduled concerts in LA that he had to move when he got COVID last year. And at the first one back, he fell to his knees in the middle of Music for a Sushi Restaurant. Great song. My favorite part of the concert. And he split his pants right down the middle with his crotch in people's faces.
Wow.
And he, I have to say, didn't handle it as charmingly as I would have thought. He was embarrassed. What? And he, like, covered himself up with, like, a pride flag and then, like, covered up with a towel. And apparently Jennifer Aniston was there. And he said on talk shows previously that she was his first celebrity crush. So that is tough. However,
wow,
good news for Harold. He has a chance at redemption tonight with a far more important guest.
Oh, my
our
God.
Our very own Kai McMullen.
That's so tonight? Oh, my God. I'm
eagerly anticipating this.
You mean incredible to tell stuff. Me he's still touring?
So he has to do those dates that he rescheduled. Yes. COVID.
So I was originally supposed to go in early November.
Right.
It was rescheduled for today.
Wow.
So I can only hope that he wears some poorly made pants one more time.
I told Kai, I was like, you'll get the pants jokes. Like, you know?
Yes.
So, like,
that'll
that's
be fun. That'll
he'll
be
have
fun.
His little, he'll work it into his little stand-up routine.
thank you so much. I'm looking forward
so
to
funny.
It.
I'm so excited really for funny. You. Have a fabulous time.
Oh my God.
All right. Also, extremely not worth the tea. Much less worth the tea. I just saw this right before we recorded and I just had to throw it in there because we're on the Young Gravy beat on Tea Time.
Yeah, we are.
Amelia's back in Minnesota temporarily, the home of Young Gravy, the land that spawned him. And Rick Astley is suing Young Gravy, Rick Astley of Never Gonna Give You Up fame, suing Young Gravy because Young Gravy, I've said that name so many times in the last 30 seconds. Young Gravy sampled Never Gonna Give You Up on his song from last year, Betty Get Money. And like, that was fine. He had licensed to sample it. However, Rick Astley is suing him because he thinks that he copied his voice in the parts of the song that were not a sample, which apparently is like impersonation and he's not allowed to
what?
Do. And like, apparently he like just that. Remade the song. And I listened to it today, unfortunately. and there are some small parts where he does clearly do like the voice. But I'm like, if you license the song for a sample, then like, yeah. I don't know. At one hand, I'm like, I support suing Young Gravy for anything. but on the other hand, it does seem like a bit of a reach from Rick Astley. And maybe he just wants some money and to stay relevant. So
I was going to say, because they both have really deep voices, like just I think in general. And I think he might be trying to grasp at
It's a short bit and it like repeats, but it's not like he's singing the entire song like Rick Astley. It's just like this little bit where I'm like, okay, that is probably an impersonation. But it just, I'm like, just relax, Rick.
You know what's funny?
Relax.
Is the end of this article says that he's seeking damages and demands a trial by jury.
Trial by jury.
A whole bunch of people are going to have to listen and know about Young Gravy. No more than they ever wanted to know.
I kind of want to get on this jury.
I know. We're definitely not eligible, but I would love to be part of this experience.
That's really
Would you rather see Young Gravy be sued by Rick Astley like for this or by Sherry Nicole for emotional damages?
It's close.
I know, right?
I would watch either one with popcorn in hand.
Me too. Funny.
And then lastly, I have so little thoughts about this, but it is pop culture news, so I'm just going to say it. Panic at the Disco broke up after more than two decades together as a band.
Damn.
I didn't realize. I mean, they're great. Used to like a couple songs. I did not realize they were still together.
They're not. It's just Brendan Urie and some like new people.
Actually?
Yeah. So Twitter was like Panic at the Disco breaking up. And it's like the picture of the meme of the guy looking at himself in the mirror, you know, like, because it's Brendan Urie, he's going to have a kid. And he's
I
guess we're done for now.
Oh, that makes me feel a lot better. I was like, these crazy kids still kicking around.
I will say, speaking of that era, Fall Out Boy, new music, a new album in March.
Wow.
Paramore, new album in March. Wow. It's like a big time for like the alt millennials.
For Bobby Wagner and you.
I was literally going to say myself and Bobby Wagner. So, you know, I guess we don't need Panic at the Disco because we have the others back.
Right. Great. Okay, let's move on to Cringe Mode. This is week four, the final week of January. We are covering Shotgun Wedding, an Amazon Prime new rom-com. Kate, you want to take it away?
Very simple plot, actually. I was going to like prepare for this and then I was like, it's pretty simple. J-Lo and Josh Duhamel are getting married in the Philippines. They have very obnoxious families who have traveled to be with them. Everyone's kind of butting heads. J-Lo's ex shows up, Lenny Kravitz. It's like, you know, just like a wacky family wedding comedy. And then suddenly pirates attack and they kidnap the families. They're holding them hostage at the hotel. J-Lo and Josh Duhamel have been fighting. They have to like, you know, make up and re-fall in love while they rescue their families from pirates. And they do. And there's just like wacky action scenes and a lot of just like running around with pirates and guns and grenades.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Shotgun Wedding.
Nice. All right. Let's do the highlights.
We talked last week when we did our wild card January pick. We weren't sure who we were going to do. We ended up going with Jennifer Love Hewitt, but we considered Jennifer Coolidge, right?
Mm-hmm.
I start watching this movie, 30 seconds in, Jennifer Coolidge shows up as Josh Duhamel's mom. And I was like, incredible. We didn't even know that this was a double January feature. And we got bonus Jennifer Coolidge anyway. So that was the number one highlight for me, I have to say.
That's great.
Yeah, I agree. I thought she was really
hilarious.
Amazing. And she's so funny. I love her. So
funny and everything.
Great. So funny and everything. So great. I'm so happy that she's being cast in so much stuff. I also like how this rom-com stars two people in their 50s. I'm like, you know what? Yeah.
Granted, they both look 35, but
that's true. But so, you know, happy.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. And you know what? On that note, we should just be happy and appreciative that people are still trying and taking a stab at rom-coms.
Yeah.
Beggars can't be choosers. We all talk a lot about how we want more rom-coms, and then we will be shitting on this movie pretty heavily. But overall, very happy that there are still studio, you know. So
Happy it exists. Mid-budget rom-coms. We're here for it as a concept.
Yes.
If not in practice. Another highlight, even if they're exes in this, which they are, Jennifer Lopez and Lenny Kravitz are like an all-time hot movie couple.
Yes.
And he just shows up as like the ex nobody wants. Turns out he's like the bad guy, basically, which I should have known because I'm like, why would Lenny Kravitz show up to just like be a random ex?
Yeah, so true.
So sorry to Josh Duhamel, but like I would like to watch like the prequel to this where J-Lo and Lenny Kravitz have like their actual love story.
Ooh,
I agree.
I would watch it.
That'd be good.
However, I have to say, Josh Duhamel exceeded expectations here, I think. I was kind of charmed by him, especially at the beginning when he was like, just like stressed and like trying to make the wedding perfect and do like the centerpieces for her. And like, she was like trying to seduce him and he was like, oh babe, I got to get these centerpieces right. I'm like, you know what? I I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah.
I kind of liked him.
Agreed. Yeah. He's like generic likable. I'm like, okay, cool.
He is. Generally, yep. I'm like, why are you here? I would watch anyone else do this. But I don't know.
But you know what
he had to do?
Yeah, he served a purpose in this film.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you know what else served a purpose? The setting. It was beautiful. Where what is this, like Bali or something?
I think it's the Philippines. I don't know if they actually filmed it in the Philippines, but I think that's where it's at.
Okay, got it. Well, the Philippines are beautiful, and I just was like, oh, it looks lovely there.
It does.
I would like to be there. So
another nice highlight is that Jennifer Lopez in this whole thing is in like various states of what was supposed to be one original wedding dress that was Jennifer Coolidge's that like I think Josh Duhamel kind of made her wear. And Kate, I know you're going to talk about this later, so I won't go too much into it, but it's supposed to be like a horrendous, you're wearing your mother-in-law's old wedding dress. This dress is beautiful, and all the other ones that she wore that are supposed to be, you know, like kind of cut and mangled versions, gorgeous, very flattering. Obviously, mm-hmm. She wouldn't be in anything less, but.
Right. She's like just absolutely taped into this thing. It's like tearing off her in a very artful way.
Yes,
she's like
indeed.
Sexy, dirty. Her hair's like beachy dirty. But I'm like, yeah. She looks great, unfortunately.
I agree. Yeah.
She's thriving.
Yeah, it's clearly purposeful, but you know what? I'll take it. All, you know, beautiful additions of this gown.
Definitely. And just like overall highlight, I do think the parts of this movie that were just like a wacky family rom-com almost work.
Yes.
Like if this was just like them getting married in the Philippines and like their family is not getting along and them not getting along and like trying to get through the wedding, mm-hmm. like it would have been a way better movie.
You're so right.
Because I think those are the parts that worked.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. Actually, now that I'm thinking back on this movie, it's like, okay, I don't need them in the jungle. I like the whole family dynamic. That was fun. Mm-hmm.
Like the family, anytime they cut back to the family in the pool, I was like, I'm way more entertained than I am watching them duct tape a pirate's hands together or something, you know? Like that part did actually work for me.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's do the lowlights, Kate.
I think just a major lowlight with this was like there are these Filipino pirates that are just like these like faceless bad guys in this movie, and they're in masks and they have guns, and it's just like this othering element, and like just they didn't think it through, and like it's just it's not good. It's like you don't need this at all.
Yeah.
Good point. So
again, stick to the wacky. Just you probably shouldn't have been this plot anyway. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Very unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I also think that Jennifer Lopez and Josh Duhamel, they don't have chemistry. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. They're both like attractive people, but I'm just there's nothing there.
I totally agree. And I don't know, rom-com Perry, you know, wasn't she with Owen Wilson the last time we did? So yeah, like,
and they actually kind of had chemistry.
Kind of.
Owen exceeded expectations as well.
He did, yeah.
He did. But for some reason, the cast is not overall making sense to me.
Yeah.
And you know what, Kate? I know you're going to talk. But for some reason, I think it's Darcy Carden where I'm like, you being in here is just like, it's just, I don't know.
You're stealing my nitpicks, Liz.
Sorry. We can move on. But like Lenny Kravitz. And then it just, all of them put together in a room. I was like, I'm just not sold on like the cohesiveness of this cast and all of you making sense together. So then I was doing like, you know, looking things up. Obviously a J-Lo rom-com is big budget or kind of like newsy. And I read that Armie Hammer and Ryan Reynolds were the two original men cast one after the other before it went to Josh Duhamel.
Wow.
And I know we don't love him, but I do think that Ryan Reynolds would have maybe been better. I don't know. I'm just
I think
say
you're
it,
right.
He would have sold the action stuff better. He would have been annoying, but like probably funnier.
But funnier. Oh my God, you're so right. That's great. Yes, he would have been. And I don't even think he's that funny. But like,
I know we're not like super.
Oh my God,
this is how you know it's true. This is how you know we mean it.
Yeah,
we don't.
That's true.
I have to say, I can't picture Armie Hammer in this at all.
No.
Well,
and I do remember actually when he got cast in this and when it was first announced, and then it was like. Recast.
Sure.
But,
I know. It's weird that it finally came out. I do remember reading about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Huh. Yeah. Ew, anyway, what other lowlights do we have, Amelia?
Oh, this actually really pains me to say, but like, I thought that Jennifer Lopez was just like not a good comedic actress in this. She was like forcing, and again, I'm not like, I don't know anything about acting, but all I can say is that I was watching this movie and I'm judging it, okay? Because this is what we're doing in this segment.
Do it.
Yeah.
But I just thought that she was saying some of the lines and I was just like, have you never read a comedic line before in your life? It was just felt like really disingenuous and just like over the top trying too hard. And I was just like, okay, you know, I think
the script, because we've seen her and she's funnier. She can say like, she can have like some chops, but something about this script, I was just like,
yeah, sure it was disappointing.
Mm-hmm. She dialed it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Also, after watching this, I was like, I might really need to get into like indie movie or indie rom-coms because, okay, so like obviously rom-coms we talk about a lot, they're very hard to get made. They don't get made often. So they need to be anchored by some huge A-list star like J-Lo. But then having an A-list star like J-Lo in your movie means that she's going to do and dress and act and like be in scenes exactly the way she wants. Where like, I know you mentioned the like seduction scene, Kate, but there's somewhere I was just like, J-Lo made this happen because she is so hot. And I get it. And I would too if I was that hot. But like, just like, this is just doesn't, I know that this was like J-Lo's team and J-Lo the queen herself being like, I'm going to look the hottest I've ever looked in this movie. And this is how it's going to happen. Where it kind of took me out of the plot because I was like, I know this was a decision. Like, you know, I don't know.
You're right. No, so, you're right.
She is Cassie, very J-Lo in this movie, which she always is.
She always is.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, all right, so if I have a problem with that, obviously I want them to still get made. So maybe I'll get into like indie movies where I know people are cast and I could focus more on the plot.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I agree.
And we already said it basically, but the action parts of this movie just do not work. There's like, I don't need her shooting guns. I don't need this huge action scene on a boat, a helicopter at the end. They're fighting Lenny Kravitz on the boat. And I'm like, it didn't work for me.
It's really excessive. Yeah.
All right, let's do picky nits, Kate.
All right, Liz already said it, but she has this huge fit about this wedding dress. She doesn't want this wedding. She doesn't want to wear this dress. She doesn't want her hair done the way that her hair is done. And like, wedding dress, not that bad. Hair? Mm-hmm. Not that bad. Like, it's not amazing. But like, if your whole plot centers around like, oh, I'm wearing this super old wedding dress that my mother-in-law, Jennifer Coolidge, had that I don't want to wear and I'm pissed at my husband about it, it needs to be way uglier. And same with the hair. If she's like pissed about how her hair isn't the way she wants it to look, it needs to be uglier than it currently is.
Especially if half of it is going to come off as she's running through the jungle anyway. Start ugly. She only has to be in that for like one scene and then it can all, you know.
Like the sleeves can tear off the wedding gown. What I mean? Like it's going to get destroyed anyway and you can make it look better as it goes. So like it should have been way uglier. It didn't match her overreaction in the plot.
Agreed.
Also, like Liz said, this is random, but it was disorienting for me because Darcy Carden from The Good Place is like J-Lo's dad's girlfriend in this movie. But J-Lo's character is named Darcy. So like Darcy Carden walks up and is like, Darcy. And I was like, what? Because I was like, that's J-Lo. So that was just disorienting for me. And also, I love Darcy Carden in The Good Place. She was Janet. But she's just never as funny in anything else since then. Like I watched her in that like League of Their Own show. And like, I feel like I've watched her in several things. And I'm like, oh, it's Janet from The Good Place. And then it's like, she's not bringing what I want her to
bring. Waiting for her next great role. Indeed.
Yeah. Damn.
Next one, Amelia.
Yeah. You know, this is really like picking nits when I...
That's what this category is, baby. Do it.
I know. Thank you. But okay. Not to pick apart the making their way through the jungle again, but when they are making their way through the jungle, they being J-Lo and Josh Duhamel, and they are trying to get service and her phone pings and it causes the pirates to know where they are. I was like, why would you not just put your phone on silent when you're trying to be silent, when that's a whole entire point? And also, who has their phone on with the ping? Okay. Right. Oh my God.
That's how you know she's 50, actually, in this movie. That's the only thing that's betraying their age is that she has the sound on her
phone.
That's
a good point.
So funny. And then lastly, every time I see J-Lo now, I can't help but think about her olive oil.
Oh my God.
That is the key to her youth and her beautiful face. And she's very expressive in this movie. And the olive oil is doing a great job. So just, I guess, keep it up. Whatever that olive oil that you're using.
I love that you wrote the olive oil was olive oiling.
Well, she had to do a lot.
You're right.
And it worked. Everybody pick your MVP. Go ahead.
Listen, we came here for one Jennifer and we were blessed with another. So it's got to be Coolidge for me.
Okay.
I totally agree with you, but for the sake of being different, I'll say the location because it's beautiful.
Wow. Okay. The Philippines were its own character in this movie.
Exactly.
So real.
And I am going Lenny Kravitz because this movie made me realize I have not seen him with his sunglasses off too much. And I'm and there's a lot of nice Lenny Kravitz in there. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
there you go. Okay. What is your final January rankings now that we're at the end of it?
I have to say, when we came up with this concept, I think we thought that we had better Jennifer movies left.
Yes.
We've covered a lot of the good Jennifer movies for the Jennifers that we chose. So ultimately, this was tough. Here's how I think it turned out for me. Number one, Jennifer Garner, 13 going on 30. Iconic.
Yeah.
Number two, Jennifer Coolidge. Just for a scene-stealing performance.
She's like a surprise, like that Andrea Riseborough.
Exactly. No this one expected her.
Exactly.
And then she just burst through the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Yep.
Number three, this is where it gets tough. Number three, I'm going to go Aniston because it was a bad movie, but she did her best. And she was the only redeeming part of that. Four, I'm going J-Lo because J-Lo is J-Lo. And she's still J-Lo, even if the movie was bad. And five, I have Jennifer Love Hewitt, but I'm not married to that. I just was like, on Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I get that.
Amelia, thoughts?
I think this is a good ranking. I agree with it for the most part, except I would take Aniston and push her back behind Love Hewitt, causing J-Lo to move up and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I think that's fair, too, because we're pissed about her movie choice as well. It's, you know, it's like just give yourself better options.
Right. Exactly.
I think generally I had a little bit more fun in January. Can't lie. Can't believe I'm saying that.
Also, I said this today, but I wish we had done a January, like we'd consider doing an Anne Hathaway month.
That would have been very timely.
We ultimately went with January instead, but we'll get Anne Hathaway in somehow.
We will.
There has to be another month that we can make work with her name.
We're open to suggestions for February, although Amelia's mind has worked hard on coming up with some February puns. All right. Let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Amelia.
Okay. So obviously this podcast doesn't really wade into politics, and I'm not really wading into politics other than I just want to say there's not a candidate. He's actually a U.S. representative, which is actually horrifying, named George Santos. And if you're like me, you've been following all the lies this guy has made. I mean, when I say lies, it's actually astounding.
You should also watch Bowen Yang do him on SNL because it's really good.
That was really funny. But I think Kaya dropped this in like last Friday or something. And again, it's like a shock. There's something new every single day, or there was for a good like week or so. But apparently he like edited his Wikipedia page, like an old Wikipedia page for his drag performing character, Katara Ravache. Okay, it's like, this is so convoluted. But anyway, he is now claiming that he appeared on Hannah Montana and The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. And obviously he did not. They can prove that he didn't do this, but I'm just like, what the fuck? And my question is, if you were to lie about being on a Disney Channel show, which show would you choose? And then there's also a follow-up question. If it had to actually be believable, which show would you choose?
So the problem that he picked Suite Life and Zack and Cody, it's too recent. You got to go slightly further back. And like Lizzie McGuire, for example, if I could say that, everyone remembers the general plot, but no one actually remembers like real episodes from that show. Suite Life, Zack and Cody, his mistake, too soon. Everyone's online that watched that show and is like, no, that didn't happen. Kate, do you have thoughts?
So I combined these in my head and I looked up shows and I was like, what would be the most believable one that I could go with? And I think you'd also want to go with one that just like, just lived and died in darkness, you know, like one that was like not popular.
That's smart.
So like, I was thinking like, not Sunny with a Chance. What's the other one with?
Oh,
I looked it up and then I immediately forgot
it. It's like Debbie or something. Or
the one with Debbie Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good Luck Charlie. Is it Good Luck Charlie?
No, I don't think it is.
No. That's someone different.
Wait, is that Bridget Mendler?
Yeah, that's Jessie. The Harvard lady.
Jessie is the one with
Jessie. You're right. It is Jessie.
Debbie Ryan, where she like works at a hotel. It got four seasons. Anyway, that also might be too recent, but it's like, who cares? Who cares if you're on that or not? No one has like archived and is like a huge Jessie fan and be like, no, she was never on
no,
that.
No, actually, you know? I can cite this.
Which like, I guess, why would you lie about that? Because it's like not impressive, but I do feel like you could get away with one of the like flop shows.
What was That's one, so speaking true. Of flop shows, God, this is maybe bad podcasting, the one about the future, like Derek, or
Oh, Life with Derek. No. That's the Canadian show.
Phil of the Future.
That's
an old one too. You could get away with that one.
I think that's my pick. Maybe
that's a good one.
Don't remember a single thing about that, that show, but no one would care to look into it.
I will say I found a lot. I forgot Zendaya was on so many like flop Disney shows. Like she was on Shake It Off with Bella Thorne. That was the big one. And then she was on like three other ones though. Like she was like a spy, like Casey or something.
Oh my, Casey Undercover. I remember that.
And then there was another one that she was on.
Don't ask.
I was like, I maybe would lie just to be like, I know Zendaya and we go way back. Mm. Like we were on Casey Undercover.
Oh, I like that.
You know, that's good. It'd be tough to get away with, but. That's another one where like people would check, you know? So
right. That's true. That's true. Yeah. That's what harms it, I think, too. If like, if you're going to say Miley Cyrus, I mean, one, the show is about her having a dual whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Two on the nose.
So it's like, come on. Yeah, exactly. And also it's like, Miley is such a big star. It's like, of course you're going to like really look into it. So he just made some really amateur mistakes, you know?
He did. Wow.
Yeah. Next question.
Julia Fox's apartment tour. Is it off-putting or is it relatable? The internet is split. Julia Fox, chaotic queen, went on TikTok and did an apartment tour for 3 minutes. And it was not like the celebrity apartment tours that you see on Architectural Digest or the really even any other TikTok apartment tour, because it was perhaps too relatable. Basically, she started out, she was like, here's the thing. Here's the annoying part. Is she starts out and she's like, excessive displays of wealth. I don't like them. They make me feel icky. It's really wasteful when we have so many homeless people in this country. So this was like her excuse for the state of her apartment, which I'm like, you can just say that you're saving messy. Money and you're messy. Yeah.
And she's a mom and she's a lot of things going
and you
on.
Live in New York and it's expensive. You know, I'm like, you don't need to like make it a statement. That was what annoyed me. However, she just gave a tour of her Manhattan apartment and it is so chaotic and so messy. And again, which is fine. Like she's a mom. She has a kid. She has like shoe boxes stacked up. She has a lot of like pots of ashes of her deceased friends, which I'm like, okay, that she does seem like a bit of a pack rat. Not that you shouldn't have those, but it's like a lot. She has a lot of them. Her son's toys are everywhere. Her son's room is actually very sweet. And he has the room and then she like stays in the living room.
Yeah, that was cute.
And she also was like, it says online I'm worth like $30 million. And like, that is so not true, which I'm like, yes. Definitely, clearly is not true. Yeah. But the other thing that got, and really to this point, I was like, wow, this is relatable. Like, it's nice to see a celebrity. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at fucking Kim Kardashian in her like marble hallways and you're like, oh, no, thank you. And then you look at this and you're like, okay, like, yeah, she is like me. However, she has a mouse problem in her apartment. And she said that it's only a problem depending on how you look at it. I kind of just let them rock. So she goes, I appreciate that at night while I'm sleeping, they clean up the crumbs that my son drops on the floor. So yeah, I'm not going to evict the mice anytime soon. That's when I was like, funny.
I didn't make it that far. Okay, everything's relatable and sweet up until I just don't like the rats.
Up until the mice. That's about where I landed as well.
Yeah.
And listen, I don't live in New York. I don't know how common that is, but you got to get rid of the mice.
I think it's very common. However, I don't know that anyone deals with it as well. Or maybe she's not even dealing with it well. That lets them coexist with them as much as
she does. That doesn't make an effort to get rid of them. Yeah.
That's so true.
So that was when I was like, but you know, I saw someone on Twitter be like, she's the only celebrity that I like more the more she talks. So I was like,
it's kind of astounding. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But I did kind of appreciate the chaos of it. It did make me feel better about mine. So
same
for sure.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
The last question I have is, what on God's green earth happened at Madonna boot camp? Because I actually wasn't following movie or this story, because I'm not a huge Madonna fan. Until this week, and I dug a little bit deeper into the casting and what has gone on behind the scenes. So this is the biopic of Madonna. It is permanently on hiatus and pause. It is about Madonna. It's co-written by Madonna and directed by Madonna. So I didn't realize that this has gone through a couple of life phases already. Diablo Cody was attached. Madonna has worked on multiple scripts. Anyway, the reason why it is back like in the zeitgeist this week is because she announced a huge tour that she was going on, and then therefore just like putting this movie on pause. But according to The Hollywood Reporter, every script that Madonna has turned in so far has been at least 3 hours long, often more.
No.
And then this is a quote, and so full of incident that producers were unsure whether to turn it into a television show or split it into parts like a Harry Potter film.
Oh my God.
Like how many movies do you need? Anyway, so then it goes on to say there's a big casting, like, huge, it's just a journey with, like, who was attached. And they had to go to Madonna boot camp, which is where I really started getting interested in. So this included, it was like a, you know, like bake-off amongst like all these young actresses like Florence Pugh, Alexa Demi from Euphoria, Bebe Rexha, and then eventually the casting went to Julie Garner. The boot camp entailed 11-hour days of choreography as well as readings and singing auditions in front of Madonna and the casting director. Apparently a whole lot else went on, but no one's really talking about it or disclosed it.
Damn.
Can you imagine 11 hours dancing in front of Madonna? Can you imagine being in front of Madonna about her own life and how?
Plus, you know she's insane about it. Like, if she's turning in these three-hour scripts and it's already been this much of a process, like, you know, she's, like, literally being crazy.
And this is weeks long they dealt with this.
Oh, a nightmare.
I feel for, like, Julia.
I know. She went through that and got it. And now
it has nothing to show for it.
I know.
That sounds like a nightmare, a true nightmare.
Would you make it one day of 11 hours of choreography?
I would disappear. I would disappear at the lunch break. I'd be like, this is not for me. They'd be like, where's Kate? Like, I don't know.
Imagine how much yelling went on. I would be yelled at once and just pack my shit and go.
What surprises me is that Florence Pugh stuck around for this. Like, and I know she's been a long time, so, like, she wasn't that big yet then. And, like, maybe she really wanted it, but it's like, you don't need this girl.
Yeah.
She's dedicated.
Also, this survival of the fittest, kind of dancing with other people, like, with, maybe this is common. I guess maybe that's how Broadway auditions work. I don't actually know. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You know, that's kind of how they work, like, in Showgirls, right? Because that's what, remember that scene?
Dark
how
comparison.
How dare you bring up that movie right now? Anyway, I want more info on Madonna boot camp, so I will be keeping an eye on this.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
That is it. That's the pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to Kaya, our producer. Have fun at Harry Styles.
Woo.
I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.